It's time to move forward. It's time to get to the place that God has intended us to be at, but we need to get there. And the only way we're going to get there is by aligning ourselves with God. So we are playing and having a good time, talking about wigs, skateboards, telephones. But how about, has the church advanced? Has the church really advanced? Has the church been stuck back in time for a long time? The church seems to be the one that is always lagging behind what's going on. Like here in San Antonio, just give you an example. In San Antonio, the music industry, people just don't come to San Antonio with the music industry. They leave San Antonio if they want to be in the music industry and be found out. San Antonio is behind the time. If you don't believe, look at the skyline in downtown San Antonio. We still look like a mission city. It does. You get, just go up the street a little bit more to Austin, you have skyrise. A few, smaller city. But we're still stuck in a time. So is the church. Although there are some pioneers that have taken technology and has advanced the church in a whole different dimension. Now we can have church by looking at a screen. Right? And it was the end thing. Everybody, get on there, get on there. We're going to have a live feed. Pastor's going to be he's going to be preaching from the home base, and then he's going to have 15 different campuses that we can all watch the preacher. It's amazing. It was awesome. You can be across the world and get on what we call Skype, right? And we can talk to each other. Well, I think that's awesome. We've advanced a lot. But what has happened to the actual body, the people, body? We have all this great technology that is available to us. But what good is it if the body doesn't advance with the technology? We get left behind. And I'm not talking about rapture left behind. I'm talking about the folks out there. They say, oh, the internet? Remember how when it first came out, internet is of the devil. Remember that? Everybody was talking about the internet is nothing but the devil. It's the devil. It is a portal to the home where the devil is going to come in. Remember that? Y'all remember that kind of holiness preaching that was around there? Don't even get near the internet because it's nothing but demonic stuff coming into your house. And then all of a sudden the church is like, wait a minute, it ain't demonic. It's what you do with it.
That's right.
That determines whether or not it's demonic. So now the church jumps on and says, you know what? They start broadcasting our services over the internet. So now the churches that were saying that it's demonic are now like, it's holy now. So why do you think the church jumped on it then? No, y'all don't want this. Y'all don't want this one. Say it again. It's California Bakro. It's only ones. You know how we do it, like. You know how we keep flipping it and flipping it? Just, man, he got a lot of money. He got three ones. But count it 30 times. It's all right. But listen. God has given us instruments and given us knowledge, and what we do with it will determine how fast we advance. Right? Yeah? Can I ask a mechanic in here? Who's a mechanic in here? Raise your hand. We got one, right? One? One? One mechanic. Okay, mechanic Jeff. Working on a 1965 Chevy pickup truck, is it easier to get to the things that you need? A 2014 Chevy truck, is it easy to get to the things that you need to get to? Why?
Sensors, computers, more parts.
So have we advanced? So we advanced from going to something made simple to becoming more complicated? Doing the same thing that was working before. So the 1965 Chevy, was it made out of fiberglass or was it made out of metal?
Metal.
So all of a sudden now we went to doing things, building things cheaper and charging more. adding things that we think we need, computers in a car. Now, what we have now, even more distraction, we're going to have vehicles that have internet, Wi-Fi in the vehicle. So it's necessary that I'm driving. I need the internet while I'm driving. What is so important that we need to be connected to the internet as we're driving? Not a dang thing. Some advancement, watch this, can start out to be a good idea, but never been a God idea. Some things that were made to make you go faster were not always the things that God orchestrated for you. I want to buy me a vehicle that's going to take me 185 miles an hour, even though I only drive 65. I just want to know that I have the ability, if I wanted to go 150 miles an hour if I wanted to. You get so scared going past 100 anyways, you just go back down. You know it. What do you need a car that's going to go that fast for? But just knowing that you have that power there. Listen to it. Me and my son were in my car with us the other day, Josh. And I got my, you know, my convertible. Four cylinder, five speed. Got the radio bumping. Yeah, Daddy. We sit so low to the ground, I got aerodynamics going on my behalf, right? All of a sudden, this big old truck pulls up next to us. I can only see the door panel because it's so high. Right, Josh? Taking him to school. All of a sudden, this truck goes whoosh. They ain't fooled. There goes your whole half a tank of gas. For what? Right, Josh? He goes, yeah. Where's he going in a hurry? I said, to the gas station. He just wasted his gas. We have all these things getting bigger and better and faster and everything that we need because we're advancing. But the one thing that is more important that we need is to advance with God. So that the things that he has given us right now, where we're at, we have a better understanding on how to use it and not to abuse it. I'm going to say it again just to make sure some of y'all heard that. We're advancing so that we know how to use what he's given us and not abuse what is for us. Have you felt that God is advancing you? Has he been talking to you about advance? Has he? So I haven't heard God yet, so I don't know. Well, I want to talk to you about aligning the body for advancement. Now, Wednesday, we talked about how we know how it was a lunar eclipse with the blood moon that was taking place. And the lunar eclipse was aligning the moon, the sun, and the earth, correct? So we talked about that, on the aligning. All of a sudden, that God will align the body of Christ together. But if we're not in agreement, there's no real alignment. Okay? I talked about cars for a reason. Mechanic, Jeff. If my alignment on my car is off, what will happen?
Your tires will go bald faster. You get worse gas mileage.
Okay.
One more time. No. It'll go, yeah, your steering will be off. You off course.
Okay. We're getting there. Everything he said was correct. Just trying to let you know. Your tires are going to go bald faster. When your tires go bald, what's going to happen? You're not going to have good fuel economy. Okay? But here's the thing. If the car is not in alignment, you may be wanting to go forward. Next thing you know. And this is what I've seen that has taken place in the body of Christ. We've gotten out of alignment. Even though we're wanting to go straight, there's something pulling us off. And it's wearing on us. And we're not becoming as efficient as we used to be as a church. Now, with an alignment, one side of the vehicle that is being pulled the other direction, so if the car is pulling to the left, the tires on the right side begin to go bald faster because it's pulling it. Do you understand? The right side. I'm going to talk to you about authority. The right side represents authority. Okay? Aligning the body for advancement. I talked about it, how Gideon came in alignment with God. And he aligned himself with the people. But then there was too many people that he aligned himself with. Remember that? Remember the story? If you don't know about Gideon, read the story about Gideon. Okay? And then there was too many people that God said, they're going to think that all these numbers were the reason why they won this battle. Gideon says, well, what do I do? He says, go and ask them who's afraid they can go. So he goes, and if y'all are afraid, you can go home. What if we were to do that in the church today? Any of you that are not connected to this church and the vision that I have for this church, you're welcome to leave right now. Why did it get so quiet? Why did it get so quiet? And then all of a sudden, they get up and go. Right? You know why pastors don't want to talk about that? Because they want to hold on. Because they want your tithe. They want the church to be full. Their trust is in man as opposed to in God. Because I want to make sure that I am successful. So I need more people to make it look like I'm successful. Churches have gotten out of alignment. People will show up to a place just because they got good praise and worship. I wish I had some church folk in here. People will go to church because they have a great youth group. Mm-hmm. And they'll drop their kids off, but they won't come. Or they have a, watch, this is good. This is a good one. This is a good one. They have a preacher's, pastor's, leadership building class. Because they use the church as a stepping stone for their own platform. Out of alignment. Or watch. I'm getting there. Hold on now. My wife wants to preach already. Listen. Or how about this one? I'll come to your church and be a praise and worship leader. How much you pay? So in other words, if I give you more money than the church that you're at right now, you'll leave that church that you're at to come over here to get more money. You're totally out of the will of God. What is the primary interest? It's what God said to do. He never said to pay the people for what God has told them to do. Never. If Gideon would have said, after this thing, I'm going to give you all the gold and silver that is necessary for you to have. You think the people would have left? No. Heck no. So, well, there's a lot of us, so if I stick around and we fight, if I survive, then how much silver do I get? How much gold do I get? I think I'll lay down my... No. Well, what if I get to the back of the line? And maybe God will give y'all victory, but I can still get some. The secondary interest is always something that's going to take you out of the will of God. There's organizations, church organizations, that they hire their pastors. And the board says, oh, this pastor just he's just not doing it for us. So we've got to fire him and look for another pastor outside of the fold. Well, that goes on. That's assemblies right now that take place. The board controls the direction of the church as opposed to the visionary controlling the vision of the church. Are you hearing me? Do you understand that goes on right now in churches today? Different organizations look to hire and not have a set man or a set woman. They look to hire the help. Do you know that every time that you go and look for somebody that is looking to be hired, they were fired from someplace? Hello? If they're looking to be hired from someplace, it's because they've been fired from another. And you want that person running your vision. Okay. The way I look at things, what God has instituted for the body of Christ, he says, find those among you that have the heart for the ministry. Among you. Not from out there. And you can go to a place and they say, okay, well, we're going to pay you. We're going to give you a salary. We're going to pay your housing and your electricity bill. We're going to pay all that. We're going to get you a car. Since when did the church become the one that's prostituting the people at the pulpit? If you are a set woman or man of God, God sets and appoints you into position. And you are never to think twice about where the money is coming from or to look at the sheep and say, them my tithes, and think that it's rightfully yours. No. The kid's in the room, so. God puts people in place to govern the body, to take them to a place. He advances them. But when he speaks a vision into the visionary, anything outside of the vision of the visionary is division. Let's say it with me. Division. What does D-I mean? It means two. Two. To have two. My vision is the vision that God has given me. For the house, right? And now if you come into the church and you start serving in the church and all of a sudden, this is my vision and I think that the church should go in this direction. Careful. Careful, because you have just entered into division, your own vision. Now don't get it all twisted. Now you all come in with purpose in your life. You have ministry within you, gifts, and you have talents. But what you have to do is line up in alignment with the corporate vision. When you line up with corporate vision, then you can see success just like Gideon did. He couldn't go to battle with the people that were afraid. You know the story, right? He couldn't go to battle with the people that went on the lines afraid because they were looking out for their own interests as opposed to the thing that God said. So we have to get in corporate alignment. Corporate alignment for the body of Christ is that we align ourselves with what thus saith the Lord is over the house. All right? Are y'all following me? Or is it okay? Can we just talk? Mom, so, Mommy, in your house, it's you and Mr. Popo, and I don't mean the cops, that's Mr. Popo, Elder Popo. Someone comes to live with you, do they have the right to rearrange your house? If y'all don't see this on the podcast, but Mama got that look that comes from the Caballero family, and she like, you ain't going to touch my stuff. Okay, now put it personal now. Someone comes into your marriage. Baby, someone gonna come into our marriage and tell us how we should be interacting with each other? The answer should be no in H-E-L-L. No. No. No, because you don't live with me. You don't know me, and you don't know her. So for anyone to come in to get into something that is sacred as covenant and try to get you out of covenant comes from the pit of hell. And its cause is to divide what God has brought together. You understand that? So when Gideon finds these men that, yes, I'm going to go with you. We're going to fight. There's many of us. You know how we get together and we look. We got a lot of people in the church. We're doing good. Let's take the city by storm. But I'm going to ask one question. Y'all with me? Or are you against me? Some of y'all want to start answering. Others are like, is this for real? You're asking this for real? Or you just, well, because I don't know, Pastor. Sometimes you just go left a lot. Well, follow me. We'll get right back to where we're at. But what happens is not everybody wants to lock in. Why don't they want to lock in? Because they're not sharing the vision where you're going. Is it simple, right? It's simple, right? If I was telling you, I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Lori, if I was telling you, I wanted you to go and sit back there with Miss Liz. I want you to help Miss Liz with the audio visual. But then somebody else says, no, I need you to go back here and take care of the donuts over here. You would like, what do I do? You'd be a little confused, right? Would you be confused? Okay. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is the confusion sets in when there's two visions. Two visions. You can't have two visions. Well, I have a vision for doing hospitality, and that's all I'm going to do, just hospitality. You can't put me nowhere else because hospitality is my gift. I'm going to stay in hospitality. You don't move me anywhere but hospitality. Since when you become pastor? Hospitality, huh? I'll show you how to be hospitable. We're moving hospitality table to the restroom. And I want you to man it. Right? We get all kinds of craziness, right? All kinds of silliness happens. Here's where I want to take you now. Just trying to set it up. Just all doing. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to advance?
Yes.
Are you ready to go with God?
Yes.
Are you ready to enjoy victory?
Yes.
Me too. We're going to continue on this series that I believe that God is telling, aligning the body for advancement. The first one was on Wednesday, October 8th, aligning in agreement, coming in agreement. It's a corporate alignment that is necessary for the body of Christ. Number two is today is Sunday, October 12th. We're aligning for advancement with attitude and adversity. Attitude and adversity. If you would, go to Numbers 23, please. Numbers 23, 1 through 12. Numbers 23, 1 through 12. Numbers, I hear paper shuffling, good. Numbers 23, 1 through 12, and when you're there, say amen. Let's go ahead. Let's go, Jim.
And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. And he went to a bare height. God met Balaam, who said to him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And the Lord put a speech in Balaam's mouth and said,
and said this, pay close attention now.
Return to Balak,
mm-hmm.
and thus shall you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Balaam returned to Balak, who was standing by his burnt sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
he and all the princes of Moab. Balaam took up his speech and said, Balak, the king of Moab has brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse Jacob for me, and come, violently denounce Israel. How can I curse those God has not cursed?
Stop right there. How can I curse those that God has not cursed? You see that? How can I curse those that God himself has not cursed? Continue reading.
Or how can I violently denounce those who the Lord has not
Stop
denounced?
Stop right there. How can I denounce those that God hasn't denounced? Isn't that good?
Yes.
We had a wonderful service today. I hope you have a wonderful day. That message right there should eradicate your thinking that people are going to curse you. That people are going to put words on you and begin to curse your very being. You can't curse what God has already called blessed. He has called you blessed because he laid his life down for you. He's bringing the church back into alignment. Even though some craziness and silliness is happening, there's all kind of adversity that is happening. You cannot put a curse on what God has blessed. You cannot denounce anything. Hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Continuing, sir.
And from the top of the rocks, I see Israel.
Wait a minute now. At the top of the rocks where he's standing, he sees Israel. Where's Israel? Valley. Down low in the valley. Do you see where Israel's at? In the valley. And he sent him to go and curse Israel. So he goes up on the mountaintop into the peaks, and he's looking out. Can you move that stuff right there? Move real quick. He goes, and then he gets up to a higher level so he can look down on Israel, because Israel has a tendency to be in the valley. That's the church. That's the state of the church, is in the valley. But in the valley, here comes the blessing instead of the cursing. But because some people see you in the valley, they think you've been cursed. But not knowing that in the valley, all of a sudden, God begins to speak on your behalf. And not only does he speak, he declares, you cannot curse what I have blessed. You can't take out what I have given. You cannot denounce what I've already pronounced to be blessed. You may be at a higher level in looking down upon the people that God has called to be in the valley. And then we get mad because we're in the valley. But in the valley, you get instructions, you get blessings, and you get revelation. Jesus now shows up on the scene and says, you cannot curse what I have blessed. You can't take out what I have brought in. You can't remove what I have established. You got to understand something. Some of the prophetic words that has come your way, you're thinking, it's taking too long. You're in your valley and God is speaking to your enemy that is trying to tower over you and say you can't even touch them because they're in their valley. Because though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with them. My rod and my staff will comfort them. The rod of authority, the staff as a shepherd will come in. You're not going to curse what I have blessed. You're not going to take out what I put in. You can put every word against them and it will not attach to them. You can try to curse them all you want and they're going to stand up strong and they're going to look up into the hills where their help comes from. They're not going to see the enemy trying to curse because they're going to see their helper, Jesus, standing there talking to those that try to curse them and say, how are you trying to curse my children when I didn't put it in your mouth to speak it? Woo! Finish it up, sir. Finish it up.
And from the hills I behold him. Behold, the people of Israel shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned and esteemed among the nations.
Listen to this. What he's saying right here in this very last sentence is that they are separated. Speaks of consecration to be separated from everybody else. They're not going to align themselves with just anybody. They're not going to just get up with someone and say, I got you. We're going to do this thing together. If it ain't God, baby, we ain't doing nothing together. Because my vision remains. Your vision doesn't line up with my vision. There's the door. If you don't like it, take it up with God. I am advancing. Say it now. I am advancing. And let no one come in and try to bring division. Israel will never align itself ever again. Watch this. Watch. That's why there's turmoil right now with Israel. Because they will not align themselves with others. Because they're not supposed to. And all of a sudden now we see wars that are breaking out. Rumors of wars. Oh my. What? Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Discern the time. And understand that you may think that Israel's on a retreat. They're on an advancement. They're advancing forward to the battle lines. Just like David must have been a small boy, but he got up to the battle line not knowing that something aligned for him and said, I've been out here dealing with these sheep. I've been out here fighting with bears. I've been out here fighting with tigers. But when I get to a place where I'm supposed to be, all of a sudden something in the battle line calls and grabs my attention. Who is this uncircumcised, fleshly person that is speaking to the holiness of God? What are we talking about here? We're talking about what? All of a sudden, David, as a young boy, stands up and says, wait a minute. I only brought cheese and bread to the line just for my brothers, but something is irritating me. Because it's opposing the armies of God. What we have is a church that is out of alignment because they let anybody oppose the armies of God. And they align themselves with people that they feel are anointed and appointed, but not going before God, knowing whether or not they're supposed to be with them. I got it, God. You're preaching to me. I'm trying to go somewhere. I'm trying to advance. But every time I'm trying to advance, something is pulling me back. It's pulling. Thank you. Don't let go. I'm trying to go somewhere, but something's pulling me back. And usually it's something from the past. What was working in 1987 is not working in 2014. What was working in 1979 is not working in the year 2015. What is working in 1969 is definitely not working right now. Why? Because God is advancing us, his people, to a better place in him. But we align ourselves with something from our past. Because comfortable. We know it. We know them. We know their ways. And we accept their ways. Get away from me. Because I'm going away from you. And if they don't like you, don't use it. Ah, we just got to love them. Love them from a distance. Peace. I love you, but I don't need you. My faith and trust is in God. And the vision that he has spoken into my life. Pastor, you're talking about something personal. No, I'm talking about something biblical. Because what he has for us to do, Stephen, nobody can walk in your shoes. Nobody can walk in your shoes. Nobody can walk in yours. They may try. But they can't walk in your shoes. They'll never understand. You'll always be misunderstood. The reason why you're always going to be misunderstood is because the prophetic anointing that's on you causes for people to be irritated around you. And every time they get irritated, they think it's you. But it ain't you. It's the anointing inside of you that destroys the yokes. It breaks the oppressor off of them, and they don't want to be loosed. But you have a deliverer's anointing on you. That you will deliver the people out of their bondage just by the way you speak. Amen. I know this. You're probably going to say, but the people that I talk to are not saved. Thank you. Hallelujah. Real talk. Real talk. Get in their business, man. You have a very strong discerning spirit. You can discern things. You can see things. You know how to judge by the heart, not by what you see. Utilize the gift that God has given you to change the atmosphere where you're at.
Amen.
And you'll see such a change that, which has transformed people's lives. Bless you. Don't know you, but bless you.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Did we finish reading? Okay, keep reading. Keep reading.
Verse 10. Who can count the dust?
Wait. Who can count the dust? Who can count it? When I was bored sitting there waiting for my mom to do all these wigs, I thought I could count the dust. You know how you are when you're in church, you're bored. You start looking at the carpet and start counting the fibers. Then all of a sudden, watch this. Then you start getting critical. They got stains. Carpet look like it need to be changed, but they ain't changing. Where's my tithe going to? Where my offering going? Because they definitely ain't taking care of this place. And then miss everything that God just spoke over your life. That's what the enemy tries to do. That's what he tries to do. Get you off alignment. Finish reading, sir. I'm sorry. Trying.
Who can count the dust, the descendants of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God. And let my last end be like theirs.
Now watch this. This is what he's speaking to Balak. The word that God put in his mouth to speak to him to prophesy concerning Jacob and the Israelites. He says, do you not know that what I've already spoken to Jacob, that their descendants and his seed would be like the dust of the earth? Who can count? And who can separate it? Who can take an account for what I've done to make them more fruitful than any nation? And he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church. I have multiplied my church, but here's the thing. They want to align themselves with people that are out of alignment. No character, no integrity, and no moral standings. Think behind closed doors, they all right because nobody sees. Got in the car with you, but you don't know what's going on in the car because it's just me and just my homies. But watch when God reveals what is in secret, he reveals in the public. Are we done?
Verse 11.
11.
Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me?
Watch this. Verse what?
Verse 11.
11. What does the number 11 mean in numerology? Is paradigm shift. Listen here.
I bought you to curse my enemies, and here you have thoroughly blessed them.
Look at here. Can I just demonstrate for a little bit?
Yeah.
Come on, Stephen. I've been picking on y'all. Just come on, Stephen. Stephen wants to stand here. He says, now this is Balak. Lack. Lack is always trying to get somebody else to fall in line with their lack. Balak, I'm Balak. Look at me, I'm Balak. Balaam hears from God. This is what Balak is saying. And I brought you to curse them, and all you did, what have you done to me? All you did was bless them. All right? But here's the thing that's so beautiful. He did exactly what Balak said to do. Go ask inquiry of God so we can curse them. But before he left Balak, he said, I will go. And I will ask, and I will only report what God puts in my mouth. At that very point right there, Balak could have said, then don't go. Don't miss this. He didn't think that his God was going to speak. Because Balak was serving a God that didn't speak. He knew in his heart, I'm going to go to God, and he's going to speak. He's going to speak. And I'm only going to say what he tells me to say. So he comes back, and then Balak is now getting mad. Haven't you been under someone's authority that they get mad for you doing right? You know, we're not supposed to pad this kind of inventory. We're supposed to let them know that we have pilferage, and then we're supposed to let them know how much it is because we need to be right. Let's just hide everything. Let's pad inventory so they won't know that under my authority, something's missing. Is that right? No? What did? No? That's not a good thing to do? What should we do? Be honest. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, Steve. We should be honest with what God has put in your mouth and speak to the individual that is trying to get you to curse others. When you get around some folks, I'm still on my first point. When you get around folks, this is going to transition to point number two, is adversity. And they can't speak good. And they always want to talk negative. And they always want to talk about what's not being done. And they always point out the things that are wrong, but never give you any type of solution for what is wrong. You need to start doing the Michael Jackson moonwalk and start backing off. Because all you're going to do is fall into that same trap. Same trap. In order for the body to advance, we have to align ourselves with those of integrity and rid ourselves of unmanageable adversity. Unmanageable adversity. Not manageable. Unmanageable. Rid yourself of unmanageable adversity. That is chaos and crazy. Have you ever been around people that just like chaos?
Yes.
All they want to do is cause all kinds of chaos, and then once they cause it, see ya. It's crazy over there. Y'all shouldn't even be around it because it's nothing but chaos. So there's nothing in order. You're the one that started it.
Yep.
Chaos. Now, y'all remember the story at the beginning of the time? What was the first book of the Bible? Anybody know? Genesis. What does that mean? Creation. Number one. First book of the Bible. Creation. In the beginning, there the earth was what? It was void. What covered the earth? Darkness. What else? Okay, the darkness would be translated as chaos. Okay. But what also covered the earth that needed to be separated from the earth? Water. So in essence, what he's saying is that the water was the chaos. Don't believe me? What did God use to kill the army of Egypt? Water. What did God use to judge the land?
Water.
Chaos. Now, I know you Christians right now are looking at me like, no, the water represents the Holy Spirit. That don't make no sense. Water's the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that the Holy Spirit will judge also. And try to keep you out of chaos. The Bible says that after the 40 days of rain in Noah's ark, he said that the waters, the chaos, receded. Why? Because the work of God was already completed. You understand? Chaos. Yeah, the people that cause chaos in your life, don't you know that they like to thrive in chaos?
Yeah.
They want to start chaos to say that they fixed the chaos. And then everything around chaos has a tendency to have chaos all around it. Haven't you seen that? Chaos is all around them. And you're like, I don't want to be on you. You're messy. And I ain't talking about a room messy. I'm talking about everything about you is just messy. And everywhere you go, you stir up trouble. Everywhere you sit yourself down, you stir up trouble. I don't want to be around chaos. Chaos leads to crazy. Chaos is disorder and confusion. That's what chaos means. Disorder and confusion. In order for us to align for advancement, we need to get rid of the chaos. And we need to get rid of the confusion. The next point, we need to get rid of the disorder. Disorder. Y'all don't know how crazy it is when I come into church service, and this is church service, I should be praying, and this is what I do. The first thing I do, I start looking at the chairs. I do that because I want it to be perfect. I want it to look good. Not for you, because I want it for God.
Amen.
So that everything that I do, I want things in order, not disorder. Everything that I do it unto God, not unto man, but unto God. So that if I can show myself approved unto him with the little that he's given me and faithful with the little, he'll make me ruler of much and I will be the one that will be in order when I get more. Y'all don't know about, Woo! Someone's about to get this one. Come on, come on. We're going to get it. Watch this. There was a season in our life we only had one vehicle. Remember that? One vehicle. Then all of a sudden we wind up with three now. They don't. How is it that you can go from a little bit and all of a sudden have abundance? But as long as you've been faithful with the little and take care of the little, then God can see that you can be ruler of much. And then someone can knock at your door and say, we need to go get you a car. Oh, huh? What? Really? Don't play with me. You for real? I'll meet you there. You coming to get me? You going to take me? Really? You going to take me there? What? Babe, we can go get a car. We go from not having enough to having more than enough.
Amen.
You got this. You got that. See, then all of a sudden, and I wasn't asking. All I was asking for is, let this car last. Jeff, the car's making a funny noise, Jeff. What is it doing? Making a funny noise. He says, have you looked? Jeff, you want me to look at it? He says, watch this. He says, Jeff will say, Pastor, I'll just be over there after I get out of work. I'll look at it and take care of it. I said, y'all think I'm sick? Shoot. And Jeff shows up. Stephen gets out the car. Stephen brings out a chain. What's happening here? That's all we do this all the time. Dad's going to pull with his car. I'm going to get in this car. I'm going to pull it and we're going to get it to the house so I can take care of it for you. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's wrong with it? You're broke. Broke. I don't know nothing about a car. Put gas and wash it. It takes oil. You need to change belts. What are you talking about? Spark plugs. Yeah, spark plugs. Yeah, what? Now watch this. All of a sudden, get taken care of. But we are faithful with the little. Faithful with the little. And God made a ruler of much. What I'm trying to tell you is that what I do sometimes... Sometimes I think, well, you're crazy. What are you worried about all those chairs for? And then the guy checks me. He says, didn't you promise me that you'll always do things in excellence? Uh-huh. Yeah. I try, God. I really do. I try. And then sometimes I get sidetracked. He goes, that's you. That ain't me. Chaos sets in your life, and you forget and negate certain things that you have promised me. Because chaos is now set in. And what we begin to call chaos is really crazy. Have you ever dealt with someone or some things that are crazy in your life? You can't minister to crazy. Mm-mm. You don't minister to crazy. I'm going to just get there, y'all. They ain't going to like this one. If you are dating someone, living with someone, y'all getting real quiet on me now. And they hit you one time. Some of y'all are like, oh, it's on this hell. This right now. I'm through with them. No, you're not. Because you fall into that whole trap. I love them. I caused it. I caused it because I wouldn't let up. Crazy continues. Chaos and crazy go together. Every now and then, when you're advancing in the kingdom of God, because you're aligning with God, craziness happens. Craziness arises. And then they want to put it on you. Well, you're the one crazy. Hey, I've been doing this thing for a long time, and my people can tell you where I've been, what I'm doing, and where I'm going, because I tell my vision where I'm going. You don't like my vision, so there's the door. You can go. Why are you still here? You can go. What? Now I'm crazy because I told you to go? First of all, you have a tendency to want to cause division everywhere you go. Cause all the chaos everywhere you go. Cause all kind of trouble where you go. The Bible tells me to look at the times and look at the signs and pay attention. So when I see crazy, I don't try to fix crazy. I leave crazy. I get away from crazy. I leave crazy alone because crazy is as crazy does. So crazy, get away from crazy and get to a place of sanity. Get to a place in God where you know craziness cannot stay in the presence of holiness. Can you define crazy? Sure. Crazy is someone that thinks that chaos is order. Because they can fix what they control. That is witchcraft. You're no longer operating under the things of God. You're operating under the things of the devil. Devil. Satan. Some of y'all think, oh, it's only about God. Now, don't forget about the devil. And crazy gets all kind of twisted with the devil. I'm going to go pray that demon out. No, you're not. Get away. Get away. Because you're not supposed to be dealing with all kinds of craziness anyhow. Craziness only takes you off course and gets you out of alignment. Stand where God tells you to stand. And when he says advance, you advance in the direction he said for you to go. Then when you look around and turn behind you, you start to see the ones that really got your back. That really got your side. That really got you forward. Because they're going in the same direction. It's when they begin to have their own vision that it causes craziness, silliness, all kinds of silliness. The church has gotten in all kinds of silliness, gotten all kinds of disorder. They don't want to follow after anything that is holy. They want to follow after everything that feels good. Mm-hmm. Adversity also breeds randomness. You know what randomness is? Things are just done on an impulse. Things that are random that are not things that are purposed. They're just random. And begin to say, that's the Holy Ghost that did that. No, it wasn't. It was you. The fruit shall show you whether it's God or not. Adversity also breeds unpredictability. You ever been around someone that you're like, okay. They're smiling today. But give them a few minutes. They're about to look at you like, I'm about to knock you out. Because you don't know whether they're coming or going. 1 minute, hey, how they look? Get out of my seat. I pray you under the table. You ain't gonna pray nothing. You just get back in line. Craziness happens when the body is out of alignment. They're unpredictable. Craziness is foolishness, wild, and nonsense. Like no sense whatsoever. You been around people who have no sense at all? Not even common? You been around them? Run. I don't care how much oil you put on them. You ain't getting them delivered. They got to want deliverance. Amen. They got to want to be set free. If they don't want to be set free, all you're going to be doing is shine in the Honda. No, get in your Honda and leave. Because ain't nothing going to change. They like crazy. They like silliness. They like foolishness. How are you going to get rid of something with foolishness and craziness? Order. They don't like order, period. Why don't they like order? Because it restricts them. They don't like order because it puts them in a box. And that box is a thing that's going to control them from hurting themselves and others. To bring holiness back into the church where we have once lost because of silliness and craziness in the church. Let God from the Old Testament show up nowadays. Let God of the Old Testament show up since we like holding the old. Let that God show up. Mm-hmm. Oh, what you say? You looking funny at Pastor? Stricken with disease. What happened to David's wife when she laughed at him?
She got cursed.
She was barren. I don't know about you, but you got to understand something. When you want to start cursing who God has appointed, cursing the authority that he has set over your life, there's going to be a season of barrenness in your life. You may think that all of a sudden, you may think, because there's a lot of movement, there's advancement. But chaos has a tendency to have movement, but no advancement. Movement does not mean you're advancing. Movement means you're being busy, doing nothing. Just doing nothing. But there's movement. And if there's movement, that's my fruit because I'm moving and shaking. I'm taking names. No, you ain't doing nothing but tying yourself out and getting nobody further than when they're supposed to be. Amen. The only thing you want to do is people look at you. Look at me. No. Advancement means you're going forward. Not in circles. Not running around with a chicken on your head cut off. You got to be in order. And when you put things in order, those that are silly and foolish, they leave. Oh, they leave. They leave. Because they're erratic and they're impulsive. They're erratic. 1 minute they're up, the other down. They're down. Up. Are you on a seesaw? What are you on or something? You're up, you're down. We don't know. You have a good day, and the next day you're having a moment. You're having a bad day. Next thing, you're up and then you're bad. You're unstable on your ways. Not fit for the kingdom of God. Because one day God says this, the next day God didn't say that. No, God said this, and now you're not doing what God said. You're doing something what you said. When is it ever God saying, do this and now stop doing it. Do this and now stop doing it. Do this and now stop doing it. The only way we're ever going to get advanced in the kingdom of God is when we get in alignment with authority. When you get in alignment with authority, you're able to do things that you have never done in your life. All of a sudden, you get back to a place that God has called you to be in. Watch as your ministry just explodes. That's it. It's simple. We make it so chaotic because we want it so fast. Get that microwave out of your kitchen. Learn how to use the oven. Learn how to use the stovetop. You know, they do turn on, you know. Quit going through the drive-thru. Spend time with your family. Sit down at a table. It's called a dinner table. Sit down. Spend some time with your children. Spend time with your wife. Don't even get me started. Spend time with your spouse and start dating your spouse because if you don't, somebody else will. Spend time with your children and raise your children because if you don't, somebody else will. Spend time with God so that this way when something that's not of God comes in, you can recognize it. It's simple. Jesus walks around. Oh, God, help me today. Help me. Jesus walks with his disciples. He's hungry. And he reaches to the fig tree. There ain't no figs. And the thing that's so cold about Jesus, he curses it. He said, what'd that tree do to you? Watch this. Okay, I'm going to get off of that so I can stay right here. Anytime you're in the presence of Jesus, you're fruitful. You're fruitful. That's why he cursed the tree. Because in the presence of Jesus, you're fruitful. And if you don't see fruit, you're not in the presence of Jesus. you're in the presence of the enemy. Because it's division. God wants you to go this way. Don't go that way. And when you're in the presence of Jesus, don't tell me I was up all night. I was praying. I was in the presence of the Lord. But then you're the same person that gets on the phone and start talking about certain folks, start talking about certain ministries. You're the one that, you're a Christian, you spend time with the Lord, but you're the one start talking all kinds of mess and causing all kinds of craziness and silliness. You ain't been in no presence of God. What God you've been in the presence with? You've been in the presence with yourself. I was in my closet and I was praying and the Lord showed me this, that you in sin. That's how you know you weren't in the presence of God. Because God will never speak to you about somebody else's sin. Never. Because then you take on the role of being a judge. Get off of that. Get off of that. If we were looking to have a perfect church, we'd never have church. If we were looking to have a perfect pastor, you'll never have a pastor. If you're looking to have a perfect church, you ain't never, ever, 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 ever going to get one. The reason why you have anointed preachers and anointed pastors and anointed psalmists, anointed leaders, is because they've been through the valley. And when they go through the valley, they come out with integrity, character, morals, purpose, not to harm, but to uplift and encourage. Not to tear down, but to speak truth. Come out of the valley. People are so ugly and mean.